Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today for the Transgressors Memorial Service, remembering those who have transgressed against the great spirit of inclusion and must forever be cast into the abyss of dead names. Let's join Brother Andrew remembering those who we have lost.
Our first remembrance is for New Year's resolutions. Not because we don't believe in using artificial time markers to inspire people to live better lives, but because the wise thought leaders at the Guttmacher Institute for More Humane Science and Self-Care have now found a better way to live, New Year's intentions. For as long as anyone can remember, people have been tricked into setting themselves up for low self-esteem by the New Year's resolution industrial complex, being told to set specific, measurable, action-oriented, reachable, and time-sensitive, or SMART, goals for the new year. And what have we gotten for it? Failure, guilt, recrimination, and so little success that people routinely joke about how breaking New Year's resolutions is nearly as common as setting them. But now the life gurus at Harper's Bazaar, AARP, and USA Today tell us we should instead set New Year's intentions, which are more about subjective feelings and positive states of perception than objective, measurable actions and results. As Dorothy Chin writes at Psychology Today, setting aside time to reach goals is gentler and more productive than setting goals. So true. The big problem with resolutions is they invite us to try something hard at which we might fail. But failure is hurtful and damaging to self-esteem. And the reason people have so much anxiety these days is because they've failed too much. So in order to make people feel better about themselves without having to actually do anything to make themselves better, we favor the participation trophy of New Year's intentions so everyone can be a winner and no one loses. Now I realize some misguided people believe that our modern pandemic of anxiety is actually a result of collectively neglecting our children by depriving them of the opportunity to fail, meaning they never learn how to deal emotionally with failure and not be paralyzed by the fear of it. Of course, that's totally ridiculous. That's like that foolish old saying, if at first you don't succeed, try again. No, if at first you don't succeed, set easier goals. So this year, instead of making a foolishly fact-centric New Year's resolution, set a New Year's intention. Heck, set 20. They're so simple to satisfy, you might as well set a bunch of them and sit back to enjoy the sweet taste of empty success. And if you still aren't quite clear what a New Year's intention actually is, other than some vaguely feel-good-sounding doublespeak, that's okay too. Just do whatever you like, because you literally can't fail, the rules are made up, and the points don't matter. Enjoy the me time, revel in your self-care, and don't worry if nothing in your life changes. The important thing is to decide to feel like things are better, not to make them actually become better. And next year, we'll probably come up with a totally new way for you to even more effectively avoid the actual hard work of self-improvement. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Second, former president and, I still can't believe I have to say it, president-elect Donald He Who Shall Not Be Named, for promising to reverse many of the sacred name changes we worked so hard over the last decade to put into place.
That's one of the reasons that we're going to bring back the name of Mount McKinley, because I think he deserves it.
This is outrageous. Do you know how many forms we had to fill out to remove President McKinley from that mountain and symbolically re-gift it to the Native Americans with their nomenclature of Denali? Not Mount Denali, just Denali. And now he wants to simply throw away 9 long years of good practice by changing the name back to what it had been for only 98 years prior to that. Unbelievable! Have you no respect for tradition, sir? But it's worse than that.
And as Commander-in-Chief, I will restore the proud and historic names of our great military bases like Fort Bragg. We're going to get them back.
Stop it, stop it, stop it, you cad! All this dead naming hurts my virtuous ears. Yes, after we barely managed to coerce, cajole, and cuckold the United States military into abandoning numerous long-standing base names in 2023, now this real-life Voldemort wants to go backwards from Fort Barfoot to Fort Pickett, from Fort Novosel to Fort Rucker, from Fort Moore to Fort Benning, from Fort Greg Adams to Fort Lee, from Fort Cavazos to Fort Hood, and perhaps most awful of all, from Fort Liberty to Fort Bragg. Why would anyone not love the name Fort Liberty? These name changes did such a wonderful job of separating the modern, evolved, inclusive, and tolerant military from its checkered past when they focused mostly on killing people and destroying things instead of teaching soldiers to use more sensitive words. But it's even worse than that. President Not Kamala has actually uttered one of the most egregious statements of heresy I've ever had to hear.
And woke has to stop, because along with everything else, it's destroying our country. We're going to stop woke. Woke. Woke is bullshit.
The unholy one still isn't even president again yet, and he's already deserving total cancellation. But how are we to control the minds of these members of the military and the mountaineering world if we can't teach them that their words must change to accommodate the beliefs of the most recent hour? This is unacceptable. He must be stopped. Stay with the new at all costs until it's time to replace the new with the even newer. Never go back. Never surrender. Denali and Fort Liberty forever. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Go rest high.
Finally, we want to celebrate the fine work being done in the Church of England to raise its level of sensitivity and inclusion around the highly controversial and offensive holiday of Christmas. According to the Telegraph, the so-called whistleblower vicar had revealed that clergy around England have been instructed to reassess the hymns being sung at Advent so that the lyrics avoid upsetting any non-Christians who might find themselves inadvertently thrust into the awkward situation of attending church. For instance, the traditional hymn, O Come, O Come, Emmanuel, is particularly concerning because it implies that other faiths are outside of God's grace and actually says that captive Israel awaits a ransom to be paid by a Savior God who must come for them in the flesh. Talk about a Debbie Downer at Christmas. Another hymn noted for its exclusionary lyrics is Lo, He Comes with Clouds Descending, for proclaiming Jesus as the true Messiah, reminding people of the crucifixion, the marks allegedly left in Jesus' hands and feet, and saying Jesus is a king who will reign over the earth. A king? A patriarchal monarch? A Messiah through blood? What is this, the Middle Ages? Oh come, Episcopalians. Surely you can do better, and we celebrate the Church of England for trying. As an email to the Birmingham Diocese says, quote, try to use language that won't add further confusion or tension or take away anything from the good news of the Nativity, end quote. Now, this is the sort of Christianity we can get behind, one that has no specific content, condemns no one, and focuses on the positive message of hope and happiness at Christmas instead of all this incarnation, sacrifice, death, and resurrection mumbo-jumbo that just makes people feel like doctrine and professions of faith matter for something. For doing their best to avoid causing unnecessary offense, we celebrate the Church of England and award them their second oak leaf for intentional inclusion, which means they are well on their way to becoming an approved member of the semi-holy council of purveyors of inoffensive religious platitudes. Well done, mates. Cheers. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Refreshments this week are provided by I Can't Believe It's Not Utter, the finest non-bovine dairy substitutes you've ever tasted. Not because they taste great, but because we know your taste buds are so starved for attention that you'll think it's amazing. Instead of trying to make these milk, cream, and cheese alternatives taste like the real thing, I Can't Believe It's Not Utter embraces the terrible taste and tells you to enjoy the pride of knowing you're eating something nearly indigestible. I Can't Believe It's Not Utter. You really can taste the virtue.
And now, brethren, sistren, and otheren, having been cleansed of these hurtful words, give each other the holy virtue signal and go forth and transgress no more.